The House, please come to order. Will members please indicate their presence by voting? Has any member failed to indicate their presence by voting? Will the clerk please take the roll?
37 members present.
Representative Barnes?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Excuse from the call of the House today is Representative Zaroff after 4 p.m., Representative Vasquez, and Ward.
Will the members please rise for the invocation by Reverend Richard Holm, Northern Light United Church.
Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you that we are able to be here again in these chambers to serve our state and its citizens. You have kept us safe another night. How grateful are we for your unceasing love which watches over us day and night. Through our busy day, there is so much tension with which we must deal, working with legislators and other members of the government. We are grateful that these tensions do not overcome us, but we are confident that it is by your Holy Spirit that we are able to deal with our tensions effectively. Lord, we also want to thank you for the good times that we have serving as members of the House, the privilege of serving our citizens, the satisfaction of knowing that we are doing a good job, and the fun which we have with our co-workers. We want to pray for our families who support, love, and endure us while the House is in session. Give them patience and acknowledge that we truly love them. We are grateful for the opportunity to enjoy you, Lord. Thank you for being a God who has reached out through your Son, Jesus Christ, to touch us and bring us back home to you. Fill us now with joy, hope, and peace for this day of work and service. May our thoughts and actions give you glory. Amen.
Representative Szymanski?
Yes, I would like to move and ask unanimous consent that the prayer be spread in journal.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the prayer will be spread on the journal. Will the clerk please certify the journal for the 101st legislative day?
As chief clerk, I certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 101st day and House Supplement number 47.
Representative Barnes?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the journal for the 101st day and House Supplement number 47 be approved as certified by the chief clerk.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Are there guests for introduction? Representative Ringstad?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Got another one of those people that are very important to me here with me for the next day or two. In gallery A behind me, I'd like to introduce my sister, Kathy.
Are there further guests for introduction? Messages from the governor.
I have none, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the Senate.
The Senate has approved the following citation, in memoriam John Manley and honoring Raymond Shimolowski. The Senate has approved the following, and it is transmitted for consideration. Citation in memoriam John E. Anderson, Jr. The Senate has passed the following, and they are transmitted for consideration. Committee substitute for Senate Bill 111, Judiciary, by the Judiciary Committee. An act relating to public meetings under the Administrative Procedure Act.
The Judiciary Committee substitute for Senate Bill 111 is referred to the State Affairs and Judiciary Committees.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 184, Labor and Commerce, by the Labor and Commerce Committee. An act extending the termination date of the Alaska Transportation Commission and providing for an effective date.
The Labor and Commerce Committee substitute for Senate Bill 184 is referred to the Transportation and Finance Committees.
I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Other communications?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of standing committees.
The Committee on Resources has had House Concurrent Resolution 31, Protection and Preservation of the Kenai River, under consideration and recommends that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Ringstead, co-chairman, concurred in by Gall, Schultz, Liska, Cowdery, Euling, and Ringstead. Having no recommendation, Larson and Vasca. House Concurrent Resolution 31 has a further referral to Finance. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 8, Judicial Retention Elections, under consideration and recommends that it do pass and attaches two new fiscal notes. The report was signed by Mr. Adams, chairman, concurred in by Adams, Flood, Grusendorf, Lindauer, Martin, and Bettesworth. Jaroff has no recommendation. House Bill 8 has no further referral. The Committee on Hess has had House Bill 182, exempting participants in residential drug abuse and alcoholic treatment programs from Alaska's minimum wage provisions under consideration. Recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 182 Hess with the same title and attaches a physical note. Report was signed by Mr. Fritz, co-chairman, signing Dupass, M.W. Miller, and Fritz. Signing no recommendation, Copen and Davis, Gall, and Herman. House Bill 182 has a further referral to finance. The Committee on Labor and Commerce has had House Bill 246, deregulation of interest rates, under consideration. Recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 246, Labor and Commerce, with the same title, and attaches a zero physical note. Report was signed by Mr. Furness, chairman. Signing do pass, Furness. Signing do not pass unless amended, Malone. Signing do pass if amended, Wente. Signing no recommendation, Kopanen, Ewing, and Ringsted. House Bill 246 has no further referral. The Committee on Resources has had House Bill 99, a special appropriation to the Alaska Power Authority for construction of the Susitna River Hydroelectric Project, under consideration. Recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 99 Resources with a new title, and recommends it do pass. Report was signed by Mr. Ringsted, co-chairman, concurred in by Larson, Bessel, Liska, Cowdery, Ewling, and Ringsted. Signing no recommendation, Gall and Schultz. Baska signed do not pass, project will bankrupt the state. House Bill 99 has a further referral to finance. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of special committees?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of citations and resolutions.
House Concurrent Resolution 35 by Hurlburt, Ward, Jaroff, Szymanski, Martin, Wente, Phillips, and Kopanen, relating to petroleum prices in the state.
House Concurrent Resolution 35 is referred to the House Special Committee on Oil and Gas and the Resources Committee.
I have no further resolutions for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction, first reading, and reference of bills. Representative Furness?
I want to brief at ease, Mr. Speaker.
House, please stand at ease. During the at ease, it was pointed out that I made an error in referring the Labor and Commerce Committee substitute for Senate Bill 184. I should have referred it to Transportation and Labor and Commerce. Instead, I referred it to Transportation and Finance. It doesn't have a finance. It has no fiscal note. And so, unless there's objection, I'd like to, this time, change the referral for Senate Bill 184, first for referral first to Transportation and then to Labor and Commerce Committees. And before the ease, we were under introduction, first reading, and reference of bills.
A sponsor substitute for House Bill 381 by the House Special Committee on Fisheries, an act relating to wholesale prices for salmon and providing for an effective date.
Sponsor substitute for House Bill 381 is referred to the House Special Committee's Committee on Fisheries and the Resources Committee.
House Bill 384 by Tischer, Adams, and Abood, by request, an act relating to chief school administrators and providing for an effective date.
Health, Education, and Social Services and Finance Committees.
House Bill 385, with a governor's letter and a physical note, by the Rules Committee by request of the governor, an act relating to the issuance of tax-exempt state-guaranteed revenue bonds by the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation to finance mortgages for qualifying veterans under AS 1856 and providing for an effective date.
House Bill 385 is referred to the Finance Committee.
I have no further bills for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
This brings us to consideration of the daily calendar. Will the clerk please read the first item on today's calendar?
House Bill 214 by Cato, an act relating to the number of Superior Court judges and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Judiciary has had House Bill 214 under consideration, recommends it do pass, and attaches a letter of intent and two physical notes and a zero physical note. Report was signed by Mr. Bussell, chairman, signing do pass, Liska, Hayes, Malone, Clarkson, and Bussell. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 214 under consideration and reports it back do pass and attaches a letter of intent. The report was signed by Mr. Adams, chairman, signing do pass, Adams, Flood, Lindauer, Martin, and Bedesworth, having no recommendation, Jaroff and Duncan. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that House Bill 214 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Is there objection?
Hearing none, so ordered. Will the clerk please read the bill for the third time?
House Bill Number 214 by Cato, an act relating to the number of Superior Court judges and providing for an effective date.
Is there debate? Are you ready, Representative Cato?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to give the body a little bit of history on this bill. The judgeship territory consists of Valdez, Glen Allen, and Cordova. The caseload, at the present time, we have a district court judge. The caseload of that district court judge is a combination of 2,594 cases. At the present time, what they're doing when they're Superior Court things, the Superior Court comes down from Anchorage, Superior Court judge. To give you a bit of a comparison, Superior Court judge in Petersburg-Wrangell handles 1,059 cases per year. What we desire at the present time, which we feel very definitely is needed, is to upgrade the district court judgeship in the tri-area to a Superior Court judgeship. There's two fiscal notes attached to the bill. One is for $15,000, which has to do with the district attorney, which basically doesn't have anything to do with the bill. That district attorney would have to travel anyway. The other one is $21,000, which is the difference in his salary and other things pertaining to, which actually is pretty much of a wash considering that the district or Superior Court judge has to travel from Anchorage to handle Superior Court cases. Now, in the letter of intent, it says that they would not fill the position of Superior Court judgeship until the district court had been canceled. What they would do would be to remove the district court and then appoint Superior Court judgeship, so there'd be no possibility of two judges in the area. And the Superior Court judge then would handle the volume of the load of both the district court and the Superior Court. This bill has been around for a while. It was around last year. It passed the House 36-3. It is merely an upgrade, a very, very needed one, and I would certainly appreciate the cooperation of the body on this bill. Thank you.
Further debate? Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall House Bill 214 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
38 yeas, no nays.
House Bill 214 has passed the House. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call vote on passage of House Bill 214 be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. There is a letter of intent with this bill. Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent the adoption of the letter of intent.
It's the I'll ask the clerk to read the letter of intent. If it's not long, if it's long, I'll ask her to give us the reference in the journal.
Letter of intent for House Bill Number 214. It is the intent of the House Committee on Finance that the Superior Court judgeship in Valdez shall not be filled until the Supreme Court eliminates the Valdez District Court judgeship. Respectfully submitted, Al Adams, Chairman, House Finance Committee.
Is there objection to the adoption of the Finance Committee letter of intent? Hearing none, the letter of intent is adopted. Will the clerk please read the next, Representative Clarkson? House, please stand at ease.
House Concurrent Resolution Number 32 by Fuller, proposing amendments to the uniform rules concerning committee meetings and sponsor substitutes and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Rules is at House Concurrent Resolution 32 under consideration, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Concurrent Resolution 32 rules with the same title, and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Fuller, Chairman, concurred in by Fuller, Hayes, Barnes, Tischer, and Phillips, having no recommendation, Kopanen and Larson. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that committee substitute rules for House Concurrent Resolution 32 be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the Rules Committee substitute is adopted in lieu of the original bill. Clerk, have amendments?
Yes, Mr. Speaker. Amendment number 1 by Mr. Phillips. Page 4, line 5. After the word sponsors, add the following language, with the concurrence of each of the co-sponsors.
Representative Phillips.
Mr. Speaker, I move for the adoption of the amendment.
Is there objection? Hearing none, amendment number 1 is adopted. Clerk, have further amendments?
Yes, Mr. Speaker. Amendment number 2 by M.M. Miller. Page 1, line 25. After by, insert a two-thirds.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I move the amendment.
There is objection. Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, first of all, let me read this sort of in context with a little brief explanation. As you know, at the present time, there are two committee meeting notification requirements for a bill when it's being heard for the first time in the legislature. Number one is that the so-called previous Thursday rule, which says that the chairman of that committee has to have the calendar of the following week's committee meeting in the clerk's office by, it's now 4, under this would be 3 o'clock on the preceding Thursday. In addition, that rule is not waivable. There's absolutely no provision right now in the rules to waive that situation if for any reason it became necessary to hold an earlier meeting. The second provision, which is waivable, is that the, again, if you're dealing with a bill for the first time in the legislature, there has to be at least 5 days' notice before a hearing. These rules, Mr. Chairman, would change that, would change the 5 days public notice down to 72 hours or 3 days, and would change the 4 o'clock to 3 o'clock, which is actually just an accommodation for the printing department and makes all the sense in the world. Mr. Speaker, the amendment that I'm proposing doesn't do this. It would allow waivers for both the previous Thursday rule and the 5 day rule, now the 3 day rule, and it would say the notice requirements of A and B may be waived by a motion of the person who chairs the committee if concurred in by a two-thirds majority vote of the full membership of the House. The two-thirds, of course, is the amendment that I'm proposing. Mr. Chairman, this is necessary for this reason. By allowing a waiver of the previous Thursday rule and by reducing the number of days of public notice required from 5 down to 3, we are diminishing the public's right to know. Now, there's times when in the expeditious handling of this legislature, a case can be made that the public is best served by diminishing the public's right to know, the public's information gathering time, the public's time to prepare to come here and either by in person or by teleconference give testimony. You can make a case that's all right, that's in the public interest, but Mr. Speaker, we've also got to recognize that we are diminishing. We are cutting back on the time that the public has to prepare for this, the time that the public has to communicate with us, to let us know how they think we should vote, particularly in committee on these issues. So it's a trade-off. And I think when we diminish the public's right to know, the very least we can do is make sure that that more than just a simple majority in this House, or the other body too for that matter, thinks that this is a good idea. So, quite frankly, at one point I was about to propose a supermajority or a three-quarter majority vote in this area. Part of my motivation for that, I suppose, would have been for the fact that with the number of members in the current minority, we could this would always give us the hammer, you might say. I thought better of that. And although it's still got a lot of good logic to suggest it, I thought a better or at least an acceptable figure would be two-thirds. But, Mr. Speaker, I do think two-thirds makes all the sense in the world. I do think that a simple majority is just too easy to come by, and too easy to, let's face it, it's procedural motion, so whenever a committee chairman makes that motion, the members of the majority, and if we were in the majority, the situation would be exactly the same. I'm not throwing any rocks here. The members of the majority would be caucus-bound to follow that procedural vote. I think the majority of the majority will admit that under most circumstances, the minority can be and is fairly reasonable. We have not, I don't think, invoked the two-thirds rules that are available to us. We have not invoked the three-fourths rules that are available to us, except under limited circumstances, as the situation and the circumstances dictated, as we saw it, it was in the best public's interest. And I have no doubt that if the situation was flopped and the present members of the majority were in the minority, they, you know, would have been acting more or less the same. So, Mr. Speaker, I think a two-thirds majority is right and proper. It's not for the protection of the minority. I want to emphasize that. It's for the protection of the public and the public's right to know. That's why we institute these two-thirds majorities. Mr. Speaker, I feel so strongly about this, and please believe me, this is not in the nature of a threat. I just don't want anybody to be surprised later. But I feel so strongly about this that if this motion does not pass, which only requires, of course, a majority of the members present on the floor right now, my strong recommendation would be that the bill should not pass. And in spite of the fact there's actually some pretty good stuff in there. It's basically a good housekeeping bill. It cleans up a lot of housekeeping problems that we've encountered in the last 12 months or so since we've changed the rules. But, Mr. Speaker, I don't feel like that in the interest of a good housekeeping bill, we should diminish protection for the public. So, therefore, in the absence of a favorable vote on this amendment, my strong recommendation would be that we not pass the bill, which, incidentally, requires a two-thirds vote of passage, according to the uniform rules that we have. But I sincerely hope that the members will see that it's a protection for the public, and of course, from a practical standpoint, the members of the current majority do have the necessary two-thirds within their membership to accommodate a 27 vote whenever they need it anyway. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Furness.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to speak in opposition to this particular amendment. As a committee chairman, Mr. Speaker, I find that oftentimes, especially in the concluding days of this session, it is very important to be able to pass very important pieces of legislation. In order to do that, Mr. Speaker, a majority, a simple majority is needed. A good case in point, we held a meeting this morning and we found that out of the seven committee members, only four showed up. In order to conduct the business of this body, I find it most essential that a majority be able to act upon this particular item. Thank you.
Representative Clarkson.
Well, first of all, Mr. Speaker, we're not speaking of the majority of a committee. We're speaking of the majority of this body, or in the case of this amendment, two-thirds of this body. So that's, I don't know that that example is relevant. Mr. Speaker, the rules are not there for the convenience of this body. They are there to assure that the public is able to review and view what this body is doing and what the committees of this body are doing. We should not be amending the rules to reduce public input simply because it happens to be convenient to certain committee chairmen. I support the amendment. Otherwise, these rules changes, this resolution, is a considerable step back from this body's efforts to open up the legislative process to the people. That's something the people want. And I think they're going to view this resolution without the adoption of this amendment as a step backwards, as a step toward closing this process from the public view. I support the amendment.
Representative Gall.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just a brief question of the sponsor or possibly of the chairman of the Rules Committee. And I hope you'll forgive me for being new at this and not knowing the answer here. It seems to me that the five-day rule is excuse me, is in effect now in order to provide the public with an opportunity to not only study legislation before it reaches the committee table, but also to make travel arrangements if necessary to get to Juneau. But I may be mistaken insofar as the publishing of the calendar does not take place until the following week. Possibly the Rules Chairman could explain to me exactly at what point now information is available to the public regarding committee hearings. In other words, must somebody call in 5 days in advance or 4.5 days in advance in order to get this information? Or is there any kind of distribution of the information within the 5-day period prior to the distribution of the calendar?
Representative Fuller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. There's many things available to the public on notification of hearings and so forth. The information centers get that word out. I think that basically the people that follow legislation are up on top of it all the time. I don't think you're just getting people off the street to come into the hearings. I mean, the people that are really, really interested follow this stuff all the way through. And I don't think that this will be a handicap. And I think that everyone has recognized that the 5-day rule does slow down the process. And I think we've all been engaged in that in this year. And I think we made a mistake when we put this 5-day rule in the last time. And I don't think that you're going to cut off any public input to it.
Representative Martin.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think the chair of the Rules Committee has done a fair job with other members of the majority in balancing what we found to be a problem. Certainly, we did try to, since the new group took over, to be very conscientious of the public and let them know what meetings will be held and when. And I think that the House has tried in every way be possible fair with the public. On the other side, I find that the 5-day rule is being circumvented. And it really disturbs me where you have one committee here that, in order to obey the 5-day rules, has 9 bills for one day, another has 5 bills for one day, another one has 7 bills for one day. Another one has 5 bills for one day. We've noticed this. This is the latest one that came out, that this is a procedure that some have been following in order to get around the 5-day rules. So when the day of the hearing comes up, they say, well, we'll overload it. Or they tell people, as I've just been notified today in one bill over in the Senate body, and I know we're not supposed to talk about them, but it's an example of what happens. We've been fighting for one bill, and it's been postponed 3 times. Today it was on, it's postponed again until next week. Well, public people have been planning to come down and have hearings. People from the city of Juneau are particularly interested in a particular bill, and they have been postponed 3 times. At least by shortening it within that week, those that may have traveled will be able to stay here if they can afford to, and put more pressure on the legislative body to hold hearings within a reasonable time rather than keep expanding it by 5 days or 7 days or whatever. And I feel that this is a compromise to solve the problem that others are trying to get around on the 5-day rules. You can have the House blank committee say, well, we have a dozen bills and we'll announce them all to be held in one day, and then we'll put them all on the side. The place is packed with people wanting to give testimony. They said, well, we have too many bills. We'll announce to you later when we'll have a hearing, knowing darn well those people can't travel back and forth. And I think that this is a fair compromise to allow people to know that within a reasonable time, no more than 3 days after the extension, that they'll have hearings. And you know, public review is very good, but you can manipulate, and I think that there has been some real manipulation done this year to dissuade people, to discourage them in every which way possible to keep returning to committee hearings.
Representative Pestinger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. If I could first direct a question to the representative from Nome on the interpretation of the amendment. I noticed that he's asking for 2/3 of full membership. Does full membership mean 40, or does it mean a quorum of 30? And just in your bill itself, does full membership mean 40 or does it mean a quorum of 30?
I'm confused. I'm asking just for a majority vote, not a two-thirds.
I know, but majority of full membership. My question is, what is full membership? Is it 40 or is it a quorum?
It'd be full membership.
Okay. I would like to speak, Mr. Speaker. In opposition to the amendment. As a practical matter, what happens if we go to a two-thirds position? We're slowing down our ability to pass good legislation, and to pass the legislation that we need and that the public wants, we're moving into then becoming a full-time legislator. What I'm trying to say is if we adopt your two-thirds amendment to the representative from Juneau, what happens is then we have to do a lot of our drafting in the summer when we need major reworks. Like, I have something in mind, for example, and I'm going to have to be drafting in the summer. And I don't think our citizens want a full-time legislature. The only way we can meet the important objectives of the public and to legislate the way they want to on issues that become current and come up because of various things such as revenue that require adjustments, the only way we can meet these adjustments under your proposal is to move into summer work, summer drafting, pre-filing of bills. And I don't think that's what the public wants. I don't think they want us to move into a full-time legislature. And I think your amendment is forcing us into doing too much work in the off-season. And I think in the off-season, they want us to return to our homes and families.
Representative Davis.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think there's some good argument that the way we pass good legislation is by allowing public input, and I think there's some arguments that the five-day rule doesn't allow enough time for the information to get out. Not everybody follows this legislation by day, and it takes a little bit of time for the information to get out that what's being scheduled. So I think that shortening that amount of time down to 3 days definitely cuts off the number of people that are going to be informed on legislation that's going to be before committees, and I can't support. I do support the amendment. I can't support the arguments that say that 3 days is enough time. And I think there's no delay. I think if it's something that's compelling, we can go ahead and vote for it with two-thirds of the body. Thank you,
Representative Miller.
Yeah, Mr. Speaker, the previous representative from Anchorage said, if I got his words quite right, he feels that this bill that my amendment would slow down the capacity to pass good legislation. Mr. Chairman, sometimes the aim of an amendment or a piece of legislation is to slow down the capacity to pass bad legislation. Although, Mr. Speaker, as a matter of fact, I don't think it's going to slow down anything. To say it's going to drive us into longer sessions and have to do this stuff in the summertime, I think just clearly is, there's just no substance behind that sort of a claim. We're not going to be working any more in the summertime. As a matter of fact, the number of times this comes up is relatively small to begin with, and with good prior planning on the part of a chairman in the first place, even that number of times can be greatly diminished. Mr. Chairman, Mr. Speaker, it's not going to lengthen the session any. As a matter of fact, concurrent with this two-thirds majority vote will be an actual diminution of the number of days that's necessary for notification. So, you know, in concert with the rest of the bill, it'll actually, if the member wanted to think so, cut down on the number of days that a piece of legislation would have to be held. But it's not, I think it's ridiculous to say it's going to drive us into a longer longer sessions or into summer sessions. It has nothing to do with that issue. What is at issue is the fact that we are diminishing the public's right to know, the public's time to know, and if there's a good case to be made for that, that case should be able to be made on the floor of this House, and it should be able to reach two-thirds of the votes of this House, just as we have two-thirds majority is necessary for other issues. Incidentally, I wanted to correct one other slight error that the member made. A quorum in this House is not 30. A quorum is 21. 30 is what it takes to advance from one bill to advance a bill in the same day. Mr. Speaker, this, again, I repeat, is nothing more than added protection for the public. We need this because the basic thrust of the resolution diminishes the public's right to know, and in order to mitigate that reducing of the public's time, knowledge, we need to at least have the protection that more than a simple majority thinks it's a good idea, so that, you know, just to accommodate a chairman who wants to have a hurried hearing on a bill for some particular reason.
Representative Bussell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, or Mr. Speaker. I'd just like to make a couple of remarks to this public's right to know stuff. What we're talking about here is a publication of a notice to hold a hearing. If it seems to me like if the majority or minority leader's position is to inform the public of what's going on, maybe he should be talking about a time between a committee hearing on a bill and action on that bill instead of just publishing a notice to the hearing. I don't recall having any witnesses this year appear before the Judiciary Committee that weren't contacted by the committee specifically, so I'm not sure that anybody has testified before the Judiciary Committee this year as a result of a publication of a notice. I think the committee staff, in almost all cases, if not all,
has not had a member of the general public, as opposed to
those interest groups that they would ordinarily notify when a subject of interest to the interest groups comes up. It's an extraordinary committee. I know the committees that I have sat on over the years, and the State Affairs Committee that I sit on right now, does indeed hear regularly from just public members whose only real access, because they don't have paid lobbyists here to accommodate them, their only real access to information about when bills are going to be held in committee, and of course that's where the action is, that's where the real work is being done, their only access is that little printed document that the clerk publishes. We turn the information into them on the previous Thursday, and it goes out not only here locally, but it goes out in the pouch mail up to Anchorage, Fairbanks, the other legislative information offices all over the state. And that's the only way an awful lot of people in this state know what bills are going to be heard the following week. And I know in the State Affairs Committee, we have lots of people that just wander in out of the halls because they have had the opportunity as members of the public to know. At the present time, they've known 5 days in advance. Now we're going to reduce that knowledge down to 3 days in advance. And it's, I think the exchange for that knowledge is that if you're going to waive even the 3 days, that it'll take more than just a simple majority on this House.
Representative Winty.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I don't hesitate to correct my Judiciary Chairman on occasion, but I think I would say he is mistaken. We have, and even in his committee, had people come off. For example, the smoking bill, I think there's state employees that were just aware of it and drifted over trying to arrange their lunch hour so they could come over and testify on that. They probably wouldn't have if there hadn't been notice. And I suspect there are other bills but I understand he is busy and can forget something. The other point I think that I was primarily trying to get your attention or wanted to draw your attention to it. I think there are members on this floor have raised concerns on how chairmen or committees have conducted some of their business this session. But I was a little surprised by the earlier statement by one of the members from Anchorage that mentioned, you know, seven bills and calendared for a, or at least noticed for seven bills in one committee and five in another, and the sole purpose from that is just to get around, circumvent the rules that are adopted by this House. And then went on to place the accusation against the chairman on this, in this body, that they're specifically doing that to keep delaying it, to prohibit people from testifying, to discourage them from testifying. I think even some of the most concerned members of this body on the actions of the chairman have not made those kinds of accusations, and I think if that is the case, and I guess since he's a member of the majority, he is in the know that that activity is going on and that is the intent of it, I think that draws my conclusion to an even greater extent that that's why we need this rule. If they are, in fact, in this session, trying to discourage public testimony by ballooning up the bill scheduled in a calendar and then delaying it, to, quote, discourage the public testimony, I'm shocked. I'm shocked that the rest of you who are participating or supporting that activity in your caucus and then acknowledging it on the floor of this House would even rise to object to this amendment. I would certainly urge that they clear their conscience in this matter, that they have the ability to press that green button in a few minutes and support this amendment.
Representative Flood.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I don't think anyone's trying to discourage public testimony. I think the basic thrust of this provision is productivity. What we're actually trying to do here is to let the committees do more productive work on Mondays instead of having to wait until Tuesdays to hear bills for the first time. I think it's productivity, not trying to discourage the public's right to testify or to participate. I think it's productivity.
Representative Martin.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. The gentleman who just spoke is quite right, and for the gentleman preceding him, I guess he half heard what I said, but at least that's better than hearing nothing. I'd be more than glad to give him these documents from the other body, and I'm glad he agrees with me that there is a terrible problem, and if he reads these documents from the other body, yes, there is a major problem, but I'm not accusing the House in any way, shape, or form. I think they've been all very honorable in trying to notify the public, but we have a balance here of a situation where we need to expedite things, and we also, if someone does come in town, in 3 days, they will be able to stay here for the next hearing or whatever occurs. And I'm glad he agreed with me that circumventing the five-day rules is not to be tolerated at all, and I'll be glad to give these documents to him, sir.
Representative Kovanen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. A previous speaker from Anchorage did say that perhaps one of the attempts here was to, by this amendment, to slow down the passage of good legislation. In the Labor and Commerce Committee this morning, we discussed in passing the fact that many of our constituents object to the activity of the legislature very often because they consider that we are cranking out too much legislation, that we are passing laws on this, that, and the other thing, without due regard for either the rights of the citizens or the practicality of some of the legislation that we're proposing, and that we sometimes don't back up the legislation with actual funding. In other words, some of the paper that we pass remains pious wishes. In that case, since our constituents are skeptical of the effects of our productivity, and in fact sometimes object to it, perhaps it would be a good thing if we slowed down a little bit sometimes and paid more attention to the real needs and tried to specify what they are through more lengthy hearings, more discussion, more broader-based support for things we pass. I really shouldn't be critical of that because I note that much of the legislation we passed this session in the House has been passed with supermajorities, with sometimes no one objecting, very often three or four people. And those times, I think, are to be commended. And I think they illustrate that usually, except in the most dire circumstances, I don't think there would be any difficulty getting a two-thirds majority. Most of the time, such waivers have been granted on this floor. In fact, I cannot really recall an instance when I was on the floor when a waiver was objected to when a committee chairman asked for it. In that case, perhaps this entire discussion, which is driving our lunch hour further away, is unnecessary. The passage of this amendment is a relatively minor matter and should pose no difficulty for anybody. Thank you. I support the amendment.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the House adopt Amendment Number 2 to the Rules Committee substitute for House Concurrent Resolution Number 32? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Representative Abood? Clerk, may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk, may take the roll.
14 yeas, 24 nays.
The House has failed to adopt Amendment Number 2. Representative Miller?
Mr. Speaker, in the absence of that small amount of protection for the public in this area, I would urge members to vote no on Committee Substitute for House Concurrent Resolution Number 32 rules.
Clerk, please read the next amendment.
Amendment Number 3 by Mr. Clarkson. Page 2, line 4. Change or to and.
Representative Clarkson?
Mr. Speaker, I move the amendment and ask unanimous consent. It has not been duplicated, Mr.
I'll
Speaker.
I'll ask the clerk
it's
to read it.
Of one word.
Amendment Number 3 by Mr. Clarkson. Page 2, line 4. Change or to and.
Representative Clarkson?
Mr. Speaker, it's the first or in that line. I now note that there are two. It's the added language. The effect of the amendment, Mr. Speaker, would be to require not only oral notification on the floor, but written notice to the chief clerk. The way the proposed resolution is now drafted, you could potentially either orally notify the body and not notify the clerk in writing, or the reverse of that, which is not announce it on the floor and just do it in writing. And I think that it would be wise to make sure that the maximum amount of notice possible is given. I think it's the practice now, so that this amendment would not substantially change the existing practice, and I'd encourage the adoption of the amendment.
Is the objection maintained to the adoption of the amendment, Representative Martin?
Just for clarification, sir, I was wondering if the gentleman would consider as a friendly amendment on line 3, deleting the word either.
The debate is on line 4, I'd like to point out to
yes,
the body.
Yes, sir, I know, but that word seemed to affect the and or provision.
Representative Clarkson?
Mr. Speaker, that is correct. I would consider that a friendly amendment. I suppose we have to do it in writing. I don't know what in grammar you call an either or phrase, but you'd have to delete the either if you're going to delete the for, the or, rather. So maybe the best way to do this, Mr. Speaker, is to ask for an adhesion so I can alter the amendment.
Will the House please stand at ease? Representative Clarkson?
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that I be allowed to withdraw Amendment Number 2, is it?
3.
Three?
Is there objection to the withdrawal of Amendment Number 3? Hearing none, Amendment Number 3 is withdrawn. Representative Clarkson? Excuse me, there is another amendment. Amendment Number 4. Will the clerk please read Amendment Number 4?
Amendment Number 4 by Mr. Clarkson. Page 2, line 3, delete either. Page 2, line 4, change or to and.
Representative Clarkson?
Mr. Speaker, I move the amendment and ask unanimous consent.
There is objection. Representative Clarkson?
Mr. Speaker, I've already explained the purpose behind the amendment. It's just that there's been a technical change to respond to the concern of the member from Anchorage. I think the amendment would clarify the rule and give the maximum amount of public notice and be the current practice, so it seems to me that there wouldn't be any too much disruption by the adoption of the amendment.
Representative Barnes?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I appreciate the intent of the motion. However, there could be a time that a committee chair could not get to the clerk on time a written notice, and I think that the fact that it has been done verbally by the floor and that the clerk will have that for her records on the floor, that this amendment is not needed.
Representative Clarkson?
Well, Mr. Speaker, of course, I'm not sure there's a time frame involved in this subsection that you say you might not make it within the time frame, and I'm not sure that that's necessarily the case. And like I say, I think this is what the existing practice is. I might ask the rules chairman what if that's the case, but it seems to me that this amendment would not be too awfully burdensome.
President, I don't object to this amendment. I think that if we are giving it orally and then submitting it to the chief clerk, I think it's helpful to her.
Are you ready for the question? The question is,
Mr. Speaker,
Representative Zaroff.
Just for a point of clarification, since we do have two oars in the water here, is this the first oar?
Yes. Question is, shall the House adopt Amendment Number 4 to the Rules Committee substitute for House Concurrent Resolution 32? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
29 yeas, 9 nays.
Amendment number 4 has been adopted. Does the clerk have further amendments?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barnes? Oh, excuse me. I thought, yes, that's right. My mistake. Are you ready? Is there further debate? Representative Miller?
Just briefly, in passing, I think we made the bill, the resolution, a tiny bit better by the adoption of the last amendment, but we have still greatly diminished the public's right to notification, and we've done nothing to compensate for that diminishment. That being the case, Mr. Speaker, I would urge the members to vote no.
Representative Clarkson?
Mr. Speaker, despite the tremendous change in this resolution by my last amendment, I'm going to vote no on this as well. The rules chairman made some reference in the earlier discussion on an amendment that, and I won't try to quote him, but something about how the people that are interested find out anyway, and therefore we can reduce the amount of notice. And we've had references similar to that from a couple of other members of this body, Mr. Speaker, and really what we're talking about then is that the paid lobbyists, the professional paid lobbyists, are the only ones that have it together enough and know this procedure enough to search out and find what meetings are going to happen when. The effect of reducing the time period here is to cut off the ordinary citizen from that type of public information and increase the power of the paid lobbyists who know what staff members to go talk to, who know what committee chairman to go talk to, and to get that public information. And this will cut off the normal lay person that wants to come down here and comment on a piece of legislation based on his or her own personal interest and not that of a special interest group that has enough money to pay a hired lobbyist. So I think that, Mr. Speaker, this resolution is reducing the ability of the normal citizen to participate in the legislative process. Just a brief comment about the comments from the other lawyer in the body about slowing down the legislative session and having to meet during the interim because of the amendment that was offered and defeated. I can't express to you how ridiculous I think that argument is. We are here to produce good legislation. We have seen committees of this body railroad bills out of committee without any witnesses at all. We have seen the practice develop in this body of a routine waiver of the advance notice provisions in the existing rule. I don't think that's a good idea. I think we should be acting, if at all possible, to expand the amount of public information available about what we're doing here. I think the lack of respect that the public has, some members of the public have, for this body is based on a lack of information about what we do here. And we should expand their availability and accessibility to this process and not reduce it. I do not support the resolution because it is a step backward in a public accessibility to the legislative process.
Representative Liska.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Perhaps then we should go back to 10 days notice, make sure everybody can get down here to testify on these bills. I mean, that's all I'm hearing. 5 days is 3 days not sufficient. 5 days not sufficient. Perhaps we ought to go to 10 days. So maybe we get to put more public input on it. These paid lobbyists are coming down here. They're the only ones that's showing up. It's what I'm hearing. Maybe I don't know all these paid lobbyists. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Fuller.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Perhaps if we move the capital to Willow, we might be able to get these people that wander in off the street. I've been here 4 years, and I wanted to respond prior to this to the minority leader, and it's not a cheap shot, but basically, most of those people that I see that testify, that wander in, so to speak, are from this area. It's doggone hard to wander in from Nome or Sleep Mute or Kotzebue or whatever. Checking.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Locker.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. But now that we've mentioned the capital move, no, I'm sorry, but I do have to oppose this legislation. Sitting on the Reform Committee, it was real hard to weigh the pros and cons of this sort of legislation, and we could not come up with a consensus. And I can only tell you that not many people from MATSU travel here. However, they do send me letters, they do make telephone calls, and I see a possibility of waiving being abused, and so I'd have to say no.
Representative Abood.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think the Rules Committee has got to be commended for reacting so favorably and so quickly to the wants of the people. We've received POMs right on down the line, telephone calls, letters. Get out of there. 90 days, 60 days. They don't even want us down here to begin with. This is going to cut down the time we're going to be here. Now, again, on the other side of the coin, with the telecommunication system that we do have in place, it's very quick response to any meetings spread out throughout the whole state. It's a very excellent system. Of course, if we expand that, we'll get more a much better system to boot. But right now, we can get any kind of a message, zap, right off the bat, right into Anchorage, Fairbanks, Nome, wherever we've got telecommunications. So the public does have access practically immediately. But I'm glad to see that this House is going to vote for this particular bill because it's going to react to the public's desires. They want us out of here. We want to get out of here. It's going to hurry. It's going to hasten the day that we will get out of here. We are reacting. They don't want us down here. And this particular bill, by shortening up these hearings, is going to do an awful lot of good for an awful lot of people. And I urge my colleagues to vote favorably for this bill.
Representative Davis.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. If the Anchorage legislator would propose a 10-day rule, I'd have to support it if he thinks that there's going to be more public participation, which I'd agree with him there would be. I'd have to support that amendment if he wants to put that in. And I think our Wasilla representative made a good point. It takes longer than 3 days for our mail systems to work to get a letter down here. Our electronic public opinion messages many times wind up saying, please support House Bill 337, which doesn't really give us much insight into what the particular piece of legislation is. So I think there's a lot of reasons why we need at least 5 days to allow people to give us something more than a public opinion message. I urge this bill to be defeated.
Flood.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I kind of resent the fact that we're talking about discouraging public testimony or public input. I don't think that's the case at all, and I don't think it would make a difference if it were 5 days, 10 days, or 15 days. I don't know what my colleagues in this body do, but if it's something that I think that's of particular interest to my constituents, I let them know either by phone or by mail well enough in advance so that they have the opportunity to come down and testify if they desire to do so. The problem is the expense. It's really difficult. I don't care how many days' notice you give them. It's darned expensive to fly down to Juneau to testify, and that's why we should all take advantage of teleconferences, the phone, and the mail systems to do our job, the job that we were elected to do, and that's to let our constituents know exactly what's going on down here. I support this move, and I recommend my colleagues do the same. Thank you, sir.
Representative Larson, did you wish the floor?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. No one ever said that democracy was the most efficient system of government, but I think we all agree that democracy is the best system of government. And in context with that, we must temper productivity with the public's right to know. And I think most of us have missed the main point